We are in the midst of a 30-week-long series called Believe, taking a journey through the critical beliefs and practices and virtues of the Christian faith. And we have been spending the last weeks or so on the practices of the Christian faith and talked about things such as prayer and worship and Bible study. And last couple of weeks, looking at some really difficult practices like single-mindedness and surrender and those kinds of things. But all these practices are designed to grow our love for God. We just sang about God's great love, and now the purpose of these practices is very similar, to grow our love for God. The last several weeks have been more outward-focused practices, actions that express God's love for people. Things like biblical community and spiritual gifts and offering our time to others. Are ways in which we express our love for God and for others. Today we're talking about the practice of giving my resources. Giving my resources. In other words, not just our financial resources, but everything that we have been entrusted with, everything God has given to us. It might be material things that we can offer to others. You know, Jesus talked a lot about money. Of the 38 parables of Jesus in the Bible, 16 of them deal with how to handle possessions. All told, there are 288 verses in the Gospels, one out of every 10 verses referring to money. Over 2,000 Bible verses talk about personal resources, compared with only about 500 that talk about prayer and fewer than 500 that talk about faith. So we can conclude from these statistics that Jesus' heart was focused on money, but not so much his heart was focused on money, but he knew that our heart would be focused on money. That's why he talked so much about it. And so today, our key idea in this 19th week of Believe is this: I give my resources to fulfill God's purposes. That's our key idea. I give my resources to fulfill God's purposes. God's grace should so move us to think not as though we are required to give, but we are privileged to give. We are blessed to give. John 3:16, that beloved, well-known verse says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." Giving is in the DNA of God, and it should be in the DNA of followers of Jesus Christ. It should be our practice each and every day. So to help you understand this a little bit better, let's unpack it by looking at a great teaching of Jesus from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Here is Jesus sharing one of those stories talking about possessions, and it'll help us to understand how we offer our resources to God for his purposes. Luke 12, beginning with the 13th verse, hear now the word of God. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. The story begins with a man who felt he was being mistreated by his brother and with regards to an inheritance. And it seems that money and family, when mixed, often cause trouble. Back in Jesus' day, and probably still today, a Scottish proverb tells us, "Don't marry for money. You can borrow it. You can borrow it cheaper." So money is one of those things that can make us a little uncomfortable to talk about. But it's interesting that money didn't make Jesus uncomfortable. He talked about it, like we said, all the time, it seems. So why do we have trouble talking about money and possessions and material things? I think it's because we recognize that is so much a part of our lives. So much a part of our daily lives revolves around our finances, our livelihoods, our possessions, the things that we've accumulated in life, and those consume so much of our time and so much of our heart as well. Jesus was concerned with our hearts, and he said, where our hearts are, our treasures would be as well. Where your treasure is, there your heart is, Jesus said. But it's more about that. It's deeper than that. It's really about us, our hearts surrendered to Jesus Christ. Because friends, if our heart is surrendered to him, shouldn't our possessions be surrendered to him as well? Shouldn't our checkbook be surrendered to him as well? Shouldn't our income be surrendered to him as well? Our first point today is simply this. Giving my resources for God's purposes is a heart issue. It's a heart issue. What's your greatest treasure? It's not your money. It's your heart. It's your heart, your priorities, your time, your talents. This parable isn't just about money. It's about what's most important to you. It's about what it is that guides your decisions. What keeps your focus day in and day out? What is it you think about and dream about? And this theme is played out in a sphere of money for two reasons. First, what we do with our money is a good barometer. It's a good barometer of what is important to us. And second, for so many of us, money is where our heart is. That's nothing new. As we said, Jesus spent a whole lot of time talking about money. And I think he did so because he knew that our hearts would be focused there far too often. It's where we would naturally go to. I've had times in my life that I've been tempted to place a higher priority on my stuff than on my relationship to God, who gives me life. And I'm sorry for that. I'm regretful for that. People have always had trouble placing Jesus above their need for money and things. But Jesus reminds us that whatever it is that we place our faith and trust in, it's going to influence all that we do. And so the rich man that Jesus tells a story about allowed his faith to influence what he did. Unfortunately, he didn't recognize how blessed he was. God had given him a bumper crop. He had more crops than he knew what to do with. And so he's figuring out a way to keep all that God has given to him. And so he decides, well, I'll just tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns and I'll be able to store away all these blessings that God has given to me. And then I can sit back and, you know, rest and relax and eat, drink, and be merry, the text tells us. It all comes down to the stuff, doesn't it? Jesus, of course, told the story and said, what happened to this man? That very night, his life was demanded of him. And who would then inherit the things that he had stored up? And Jesus is telling us, don't be rich towards the things of this earth, but be rich towards the things of God. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. It's an important reminder. It comes about our stuff. How many of us are building bigger barns? How many of us have more stuff than we know what to do with it? How many of us are offering our resources, whether they're financial or material, for God and His purposes? Our second point today is this. Giving my resources requires changing my priorities. Changing my priorities. Being rich toward God means giving my resources joyfully and willingly for God's purposes. What does it mean to be rich towards God from verse 21? How does that look? I think it means that our priorities are on the things that God wants us to focus on. I think it means we have to look at what we have as His and to care for it and to steward it, as we've talked about several times in this series, and allow it to be used for God's purposes. I think it means the accumulation of more things is not what drives us, but what drives us is the desire to use all that God has given us in ways that honor Him. Leo Tolstoy once wrote a story about a successful peasant farmer who was not satisfied with his lot. He wanted more of everything, and one day he received a very unique offer. For 1,000 rubles, he could buy all the land he could walk around in a day. The only catch in the deal was that he had to be back at his starting point by sundown. Well, early the next morning, he started out walking at a fast pace, and by midday, he was very tired. But he kept going, covering more and more ground. Well into the afternoon, he realized that his greed had taken him far from the starting point. And he quickened his pace as the sun began to sink low in the sky. He began to run, knowing that if he did not make it back by sundown, the opportunity to become an even bigger landholder would be lost. As the sun began to sink below the horizon, he came within sight of the finish line. Gasping for breath, his heart pounding, he called upon every bit of strength left in his body and staggered across the line just before the sun disappeared. He immediately collapsed, blood streaming from his mouth. In a few minutes, he was dead. Afterwards, his servant dug a grave. It was not much over 6 feet long and 3 feet wide. That was his lot, 6 feet long and 3 feet wide. The title of Tolstoy's story was, How Much Land Does a Man Need? How much land does a man need? How much do we need? What are we willing to give? What are we willing to give? What about the 20% of American children who are growing up poor? They might think I'm greedy for maybe eating out once a week or for wearing a different shirt every day, for owning two vehicles. What about the billions of people in poverty in Africa and India and elsewhere? They might think I'm greedy for owning just one vehicle, for living in a nice house, for saving money for retirement. It's a matter of perspective. And aren't these other folks with such different perspectives on wealth, aren't they God's children too? Whose viewpoint, mine or theirs, do you think God agrees with? These are tough questions, but I think we better ask them. Are we taking care of what God has given to us? Or are we simply building barns, bigger and bigger barns? I don't think I'm anything like the man with all the barns in this story, but when I look at the stuff we have in our modest home, I have to wonder, am I truly giving my resources for God's purpose, or am I simply filling my barn? Now, friends, don't get me wrong. It's not wrong to save for your child's education or for retirement, for those kinds of things. It's not wrong to put money away for a rainy day. It's a matter of why we save and why we spend. It comes down to our priorities, and those are measured in our heart. And that leads to our last point today. Being rich towards God means giving my resources joyfully and willingly for God's purposes. Being rich towards God, which comes right out of this story, means giving my resources joyfully and willingly for God's purposes. You know, you can come to church every week and never give a single cent. That's the freedom and the choice that you have. The gospel of Jesus Christ is God's free gift to us all. No one made God love us. No one made Jesus enter into our world to die on a cross to pay for our sins. He did this because He loves us. We just sang about the amazing love of God. The love of God, how great it is, how measureless and pure and strong, and all those things. Do you give because you think you have to, or do you give because you want to give? There's a big difference. It's like the difference between a child who willingly helps with the dishes or with cleaning up his bedroom because he wants to, or is it because his mom and dad make him do it? One does it joyfully, the other does it grudgingly. You know, historians tell us that when soldiers in the Middle Ages came to faith in Jesus Christ and were baptized, they would keep the right arm out of the waters of baptism, as if to say, I'm going to be using this arm in battle, so the rest of me will be baptized, but not this right arm. How many Christians do the same thing? How many of us are holding our wallet outside the waters of baptism? saying, Lord, you can have all this, but you can't have that. Or maybe not a wallet, maybe it's our calendar, maybe it's something else that we're holding and withholding from God's purposes. We're not required to give anything, but we have the privilege of giving. We don't have to give, but we get to give. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. If we break that verse down a little bit, sort of like an NFL analysis, we discover these things about giving back to God. Who is to give back to God? The text says each man. The letter was written to Christians, so it applies to all believers. How do we decide? We decide in our heart. Giving is a matter of our heart's priorities, not under compulsion. Our relationship with God determines what we decide to give. How much to give? The money, the time we give are personal decisions. When do we give? We don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. We give willingly from the heart. And why? Because God loves a person who gives cheerfully. God loves us all, and He wants us to love Him back. And one of the ways in which we express our love for God is to give of our resources for God's purposes. We do that through giving, through tithing here at the church. We give that through sharing our material possessions with those in need in our circle of friends and family. I don't think any of us want to just get by in life. We want to do something that is meaningful and significant. You may have entered into your chosen career to make a significant difference in the lives of others. Teachers want to help kids grow and learn. People in the medical field want to help people stay healthy or regain their health. First responders want to help people facing difficult situations. We volunteer to do things in which we feel called to, in which we believe there's a greater purpose to be engaged with, to make a difference. God gives us the opportunity to give our time, our ability, and our resources to make a significant difference. So my friends, giving means doing something. If you only tell someone to do something, they are likely to forget. If you show them how to do something, they are more likely to remember. But if you involve them in doing it, they will not only remember, but also understand. And God gives us the opportunity to give back to Him and to others so that we remember and understand His love for us and for all people. So what difference does this make? What are the applications of this message of offering all my resources to God and to His purposes? Well, here's a few of them here we need to consider today. First of all, we should intentionally give a percentage of our financial resources for God's purposes. Most of you are familiar with the concept of tithing. It comes from the Old Testament. It's not denied in the New Testament. It is supported and encouraged in the New Testament. Tithe, meaning tenth, a tenth of what God has given to us, should be returned to God through the act of giving. Second, we intentionally make available the material resources God has entrusted to us to fulfill His purposes in the lives of others. Here is a valuable exercise to make this even more practical. Take your checkbook register and last month's credit card bill. Walk through the past 30 days and categorize your expenses. And it may be a little bit painful to see where your resources are going. But then ask yourself these questions. What patterns or tendencies do I see? What priorities are evident in my spending? Where am I pleased with my regard to my money management? And where am I disappointed in the findings? What changes should I consider making? Story is told of the day the church treasurer resigned and the church asked the local grain elevator manager to take the position. And he agreed under two conditions. He said that no treasurer's report would be given for the first year, and that no questions be asked about finances during that year. Well, the people were surprised, but they finally agreed since most of them did business with him and he was a very well-trusted man. At the end of the year, he gave his report. The church indebtedness of $228,000 had been paid. The minister's salary had been increased by 8%. The mission program gifts had gone up 200%. There were no outstanding bills, and there was a cash balance of $11,252. Well, immediately the shocked congregation asked, "How did you do it? Where did the money come from?" And he quietly answered, "Most of you bring your grain to my elevator. Throughout the year, I simply withheld 10% on your behalf and gave it to the church in your name." You didn't even miss it. Do you see what we could do for the Lord if we were all willing to give at least a tithe to God, who really owns it? The new treasurer had made his point. Friends, as you lay your finances before the Lord, ask, "Am I using the resources God has given me to accomplish God's purposes?" If the answer is yes, then say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the wisdom you've given me to steward well the resources that you've blessed me with." But the answer is no. Don't beat yourself up. Don't hang your head with regret and shame. Just try to do better. The good news is that God, who is faithful and just, will forgive you, and He is ready to help you direct your energy to the transformation of how you use your resources. Friends, what we believe matters, and what we practice matters as well. Let us practice giving our resources for God's purposes, and let it begin today. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7 says, "But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." May it be so for each of us. May we excel in this grace of giving as His church, the Mechanic Grove Church of the Brethren. To the praise of His glory, amen, so be it. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we recognize that you have blessed us, greatly blessed us with many, many resources. And we want to be good stewards of those resources, and we want to offer them unto you for your purposes, Lord. So find us to be faithful stewards, not just today, but every day. Willingly, lovingly giving these resources to you and to your purposes, and blessing your church and those in our community and among our circle of family and friends. Father, thank you for all your blessings in our lives, and help us to be faithful stewards of that which you have given to us. May we indeed excel in the grace of giving for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.